Five centuries ago, in taverns and public houses across Europe, the masses would gather for discussion and debate over the latest ideas sweeping the land. From one such meeting place, a small Cambridge inn called the White Horse, the Reformation came to the English-speaking world. Carrying on the tradition, welcome to the White Horse Inn.
Welcome to another broadcast of the White Horse Inn. We are in part three of a four-part series, What Did Paul Say?, looking at some of the themes in Paul's epistle to the church in Galatia. And in this broadcast, we'll be talking about Paul and Jesus. Were they on the same page? Did they have the same gospel? I am Kim Riddlebar, hosting this edition of the White Horse Inn, and two of our regular cast of characters are with us for this broadcast. Dr. Mike Horton is with us. Mike is a professor of theology and apologetics at Westminster Theological Seminary in California. Also with us is the Reverend Ken Jones. Ken is the pastor of Greater Union Baptist Church in Compton, California. And Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is still recovering from a tattooectomy.
You know, I'm starting to resent being called a character. We got to find another...
No, yeah, and I don't think Ken has character, so I think all the way around we need to think
I did
something.
Say he is a character.
Oh.
Well,
not
I
that he
know.
Has character.
Okay.
Ken and Michael, in this broadcast, I want to focus on one of the questions that comes up, especially in relationship to classical Protestantism, whether you be Reformed or Lutheran, and that is the question, you guys seem to exalt Paul over Jesus. Now, we mentioned earlier in this series from our own personal experience, we can give a moment of personal testimony here. We had the Reverend Dr. Robert Schuller on the broadcast a number of years ago, and the good doctor left in a huff because we raised this question with him. Mike, I think the precise issue was you preaching wrath from Paul's epistle, and Dr. Schuller took issue with you on that. And his accusation was, well, I don't want to preach Paul because Paul is too harsh. I want to preach Jesus because Jesus is more loving. What do you say to the charge that constantly comes up that Reformed and Lutheran Christians are always pitting Paul against Jesus and you guys exalt Paul over other biblical writers?
I think the first thing that we need to say to people is, sure, there is a difference between Jesus and Paul. There's a difference between all of the biblical writers. It's a symphony of redemptive revelation, not a virtuoso performance. We need all of the collateral proclamation to make up that great mystery that has now been revealed called the gospel. Jesus is proclaiming the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is arriving with his arrival, and he proclaims this great judgment to come that is even now sort of being ushered in through his presence, but more importantly, the salvation that he is bringing to the lost, to the poor, to the sick, and so forth. And this is signified by his opening blind eyes, by his healing the sick and the lame and so forth. He's fulfilling the prophecies. But the burden falls then to the apostles to explain what has come in Jesus Christ. It's not that they're at odds at all. It's that they are now explaining, you know, you learn this at Toastmasters. Tell them what you're going to tell them and tell them what you told them. The Old Testament is tell them what you're going to tell them.
What was that again? That came too easily off your tongue, Michael. What was that again?
Well, the Old Testament is tell them what you're going to tell them. And then Jesus' life and ministry is tell them. That's the Gospels. And then the epistles are tell them what you told them.
We know where he's been going on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Toastmaster meetings.
Explaining the implications of what has happened. Is that different? Well, sure, it's different. Sure. Is it antithetical or contradictory? Of course not. Paul is saying more things than Jesus said, but Paul is saying absolutely nothing that isn't implicit in what Jesus said and did. You find, for instance, on each of the points that we've been discussing, who is a true child of Abraham? Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. And they said, well, what are you talking about? We're Jews. Our father is Abraham. And Jesus said, don't you realize that God can make children of Abraham out of these rocks lying here? Jesus was saying the same thing as Paul at that point.
Yeah, you make a very necessary point and a very important one. There's a difference between Paul and Jesus, first off, in the fact that they're two different individuals. So just as Peter and John or Peter and Paul are different in terms of personality and method of presentation and so forth, there are some unique differences because they're different people. But also Jesus is different from not only Paul, but every other apostle and every other prophet because he is the fulfillment of the message that he declares, and he alone uniquely is the incarnate Word of God. So there are going to be differences. Jesus will present a fuller presentation of the gospel because he is the one who all of the scriptures point to. So there's a difference there. But in terms of the message proclaimed, it's the same message. You know, people think that Paul is much more difficult, but Jesus says some of the same things. You look in John chapter 3, where we get the famous verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." But then also in verse 18, he comes on to say that whoever doesn't believe in the Son is condemned already. So there's condemnation in Christ as well as in Paul. Paul says to believe in Christ. Jesus, again, says the same thing. "He who believes in me." He talks to the Pharisees. He says they search the scriptures, and in the scriptures, they think they have eternal life. But he says, in the scriptures, you think you have eternal life, but the scriptures testify of me, and you have rejected me. Paul does the same thing in pointing individuals to what the scripture says about Christ, and it's faith and belief in Christ that brings one into right standing before God. So essentially, they're saying the same thing, but Jesus himself, because of the uniqueness of his person, obviously there's different accent, but in terms of the message itself, it's the same.
You know, one of the things that Machen pointed out in his response to Protestant liberalism, the origin of Paul's gospel, Machen made the point that liberals try to argue that Paul's gospel is from his Hellenistic, Judaistic background combined together. And yet when Paul himself speaks about where he got this, the book of Galatians, probably his earliest epistle, he says, "I want you to know, brothers," chapter 1, verse 11, "that the gospel I preached is not something that any man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." Mm. So to pit Paul against Jesus is to deny Paul's own testimony that he got this gospel that he's preaching from Jesus himself. Mm. Jesus is the one who revealed himself to Paul in Acts chapter 9, Paul's Damascus Road experience. It was Jesus who knocks Paul on his rear end and blinds him, and, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" So I think Machen is correct. Se-Yoon Kim is another writer that's followed up on this, that you cannot understand Paul unless you understand his dramatic conversion on the Damascus Road and unless you understand that Paul gets this gospel directly from Jesus himself.
That's such an important point. It's important for people also to realize where this comes from. It's not just from sitting down and reading Jesus and reading Paul and saying, "Wow, boy, they're sure on two different tracks." The average Christian has read the New Testament for 2,000 years and has been able to see that Jesus and Paul agree. It has required Protestant liberals to do what generations of Christian reading evidently couldn't do, and that is see these incredible antitheses between Jesus and Paul. But this was the presupposition of Adolf Harnack and others, that Jesus is preaching the kingdom of God. He's preaching a moral kingdom. Whatever is morally pure and beneficial to humanity is what Jesus preached. And then somehow Jesus himself started becoming the content of what was preached. That was because, as you say, Kim, this Hellenization, the Greekization, the paganization of Jesus now from a great moral teacher into God himself. That's just a Greco-Roman contamination of the original Jesus tradition. Well, this has come under increasing attack. It's wonderful to be living in the day we're living in right now, because the very same universities and presses that used to churn that garbage out generation after generation are now churning out really scholarly monographs explaining how that thesis just doesn't work at all. Especially when, as you say, Kim, Galatians is arguably Paul's earliest book, and Paul is arguably the earliest writer in the New Testament. You no longer have the situation where the Synoptic Gospels are early and Paul's writings are late, and Paul himself is quoting in a number of places the earlier tradition. So at least Paul's quotations of early Christian belief on many of the points where people pit Jesus against Paul are actually quotations of belief that dates back to the early years just after the resurrection.
But when Schuller sat here and told us, you know, this was an interview we had him live on the White Horse Inn many, many years ago, He sat here and told us that Jesus preached things different than Paul did. Paul talked about wrath, Jesus didn't. Therefore, he didn't want to preach like Paul, he wanted to preach like Jesus. That's, I think, where most people get it in the pew, is that somehow or another, Jesus is nicer and softer and more embracing of people, because Jesus said nice thing about sinners, whereas Paul spoke about wrath. What do you say to that equation which pits Jesus against Paul at that point, at the point of what you preach from the pulpit on Sunday and how it relates to non-Christians, those outside the church?
Have you read Jesus? I mean, that's the first question is, let's go to the Sermon on the Mount. Every Protestant liberal and Robert Schuller moralist loves to go to the Sermon on the Mount. Here's the nice Jesus, the Jesus of the Hallmark greeting card and so forth. And you actually read it. What does Jesus say there? He says, "You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. I say to you, whoever has looked upon a woman with lust has already committed in his heart. You've heard it said, you shall not murder. I say, even if you have hatred in your heart toward your neighbor, you've already committed murder." On down the line. Jesus is not a kinder, gentler Moses. Jesus makes Moses look like Schuller. Paul doesn't talk about hell at all that I can think of. Paul talks about being condemned and so forth. Jesus, on several occasions, takes time out of his busy schedule to talk about hell. And in very graphic, albeit apocalyptic, but in very severe terms, and he says to his hearers, "You're going to go there too unless you believe I am who I say I am," in John 8.
So to pit Jesus against Paul as though Jesus is kind and soft and Paul is harsh and pharisaical is just to ignore vast tracts of the New Testament.
Absolutely. It's to read Jesus as something other than he's presented in the New Testament.
And I think the Sermon on the Mount is a great place to see how many contemporary Christians have missed that because they misread the Sermon on the Mount. That's why many contemporary Christians will look at the Sermon on the Mount as a presentation of the gospel, not realizing that it's a full, if not the fullest, exposition of the law, really demonstrating that without Christ, boy, are we lost.
Right.
One of the criticisms that has been raised from the same school of thought that tries to cut Jesus and Paul apart is to say, well, you know, Paul makes such a big deal out of justification by grace alone through faith alone on account of Christ alone that it's a category that's pretty much unique to him. None of the other New Testament writers speak about justification by faith, with the exception of James, and we'll talk about the apparent dispute between James and Paul in our next broadcast. But we certainly have nothing in Jesus, we've heard it said, where Jesus speaks of justification by faith alone. Jesus tells people to do good and to follow the teaching of the kingdom in the Sermon on the Mount. So what do we say if people say to us, well, Jesus never said anything remotely close to what Paul said about justification?
Well, we don't find those exact terms, justification by faith, but what we do see, for instance, in John chapter 6, after the feeding of the multitude and they want to make him king, then they try to interpret the miracle according to Moses feeding the children in the wilderness. And then they ask the question, what must we do? What work are we to do? And Jesus says, here's the work that you are to do. You are to believe in him whom the Father has sent. Well, every place that Jesus presents himself, he presents himself as not follow my example, not do this, do that, or the other. His answer is always the same. Believe in the one that the Father has sent. Well, that's essentially what Paul is saying when he talks about faith in the person and work of Christ. So you may not have the exact same terms, but essentially you have the same answer to those who are looking to be made right in the eyes of the Father.
And on the negative side, you also have him representing in the parables the publican and the Pharisee, perfect example there. You know, also you can think of other examples where Jesus does this. Again, remember, don't assume that because Jesus doesn't do theology, in quotes there, the way Paul does. You know, Paul's much more of a systematic teacher. You find motifs and doctrinal theological themes.
Well, Paul has errors about Christ to correct.
Right. Mm. And Jesus is telling stories and parables, and there's a certain hiddenness to the kingdom that isn't as hidden when Paul is describing it. It's more hidden because he is in the state of humiliation and not the state of exaltation after the ascension. And so he speaks in a lot of parables, but look at those parables. You have the obvious one, the parable of the prodigal son. Again, everything that Paul says doctrinally and theologically, thematically, in his epistles is present in that parable.
Isn't that because Paul, as an apostle, as part of his calling as an apostle, especially his role as apostle of the Gentiles, has to, in fact, interpret what Jesus did to the church?
Yeah. And
so we couldn't understand the Gospels really unless Paul told us what the Gospels meant.
Hey, look, if Paul, who already didn't get along with the apostles very well, you know.
Yeah, we know this in Galatians mm-hmm. chapter 2, where, right. you know, the apostles hear that this guy's converted and don't believe it and mm-hmm. had every reason not to. And Paul has to go to Jerusalem and check in. And yeah, that's some real interesting discussion
yeah,
there.
Yeah, this would be like Stalin becoming converted in the 1930s and Christians there saying, I don't believe it. That's what happened. Paul was a persecutor of the church. Not only that, it's not like after he became converted, he said, hey, you can use my name however you want to, put it up on billboards. Hey, even the great persecutor turned Christian, Paul, says. Instead, Paul becomes a Christian and he becomes a thorn in the Jerusalem church's side, always telling them that they are falling short of the greatness of the gospel message. And they had every reason in the world to be suspicious of Paul. But eventually, Peter himself is calling Paul's writing scripture.
Yep.
Well, now, again, the people who had all the reason to say, we knew Jesus, and you're no interpreter of Jesus.
Right, right.
Instead received Paul's own witness as true, that he had received this gospel not from them, not from men, but directly from Jesus Christ. These people who had every reason to be suspicious of a huge difference between mm-hmm. Jesus' teaching and Paul's teaching ended up at the end of the day saying that Jesus' teaching and Paul's teaching were the same teaching.
Well, one of the unique roles of the apostles was to interpret the life and message of Christ. And so in Acts, we're told that the church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And what the apostles' doctrine was the interpretation and application of the message of the gospel as it relates to the person and work of Christ. So Paul is unique in that sense. And so, yeah, he will go into much more details than Christ because they lay the theological foundation, he and the rest of the apostles, for the belief of the church.
I think it's really interesting that when Paul has to defend himself to the Galatians, because we know from the context here that Paul had been in Galatia, had been taken ill, was taken in by these Christians, nursed back to health. And he says, you know, look, I'm gone for just a little while, and I hear you guys are deserting the one who called you. So someone has come behind Paul, and apparently one of the techniques they used was to attack Paul personally. So Paul appeals not only to the fact that Jesus appeared to him and revealed himself to Paul, so the gospel Paul preached when he'd been in Galatia prior to when writing this letter back to the church is a gospel that Christ himself had revealed to him. I think it's very interesting, Galatians 3:1, when Paul is really bashing these guys, you stupid Galatians, who's bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. And so Paul here is saying, look, when I was with you before, my gospel is the same gospel that I'm preaching now, and that is the gospel of Christ crucified. So not only do we have an apostle who gets his gospel directly from Jesus, we have an apostle who from the beginning, from the earliest time of anything we know about his ministry, is preaching the same gospel, the gospel of Christ crucified. Next week, we'll be back to continue this discussion of Paul and the book of Galatians, and we'll talk this time about the apparent conflict between Paul and James.
The White Horse Inn is a listener-supported broadcast. For more information about supporting our efforts, give us a call at 1-800-890-7556. That's 1-800-890-7556. You can also visit us online at whitehorseinn.org. That's whitehorseinn.org.